This is the Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 159, and it is a great conversation. Bethany Ork of Sly Rabbit joins Troy and Nolan for a conversation about how they repurpose content and their design work for presentations. So I am not using up any more time and turning the microphone over to our presentation experts.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services based in Southern California.
I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
I'm Bethany Alk from Slide Rabbit, and I live in Denver, but the team is everywhere.
Okay, this conversation may have been years in the making. So when Nolan brought it up as an idea, the first thing I thought of is kind of one of those longtime sayings that I've always spouted to clients primarily. And it goes something like this: you know, the power of PowerPoint is its ability for content to be reused by anyone. I'm generally talking with a client and explaining that bringing in a professional presentation design team is not only great for the meeting or their talk, but it's equally great for them because all the amazing slide design work, the animations, the optimized files, it can be utilized for their future presentations with just a simple copy paste. So this is going to be a great conversation. As you heard, we're joined by an extra guest today. Thanks for joining us, Bethany. And we're going to share some ideas and stories of repurposing PowerPoint slide content.
Well, today Sandy is not with us, but we do get to welcome Bethany Ock from Slide Rabbit. Bethany, I've known for, well, a long, long time. You know, we're both getting older, right? So I've known Bethany for a long time. I think you've been on the show before. So thank you so much for joining us. And while it's been a while, we wanted to catch up and chat again. Before we jump into that conversation, we always like to do a little quick update on what we're all doing. So what's happening with you? What's happening with Slide Rabbit? What have you been up to?
Yeah, it's been a big year for Slide Rabbit. The team has changed quite a lot. So we added two new designers this summer and kind of wrapping everybody in. Actually three, if you count our newest overseas full-time members. So it's been a big growth year, and creating culture remotely has been a challenge, but it's been a fun, kind of exciting last couple months.
So what's your headcount up to now?
We are 7 full-time daytime, meaning North America, and then 2 full-time, essentially overseas contractors with some kind of relief contractors when needed too.
That's amazing. You started with 2.
Yes.
Well, Troy started with 2 as well.
Yeah.
It just grew. I started with 1, and I'm holding strong. I'm holding strong. Yeah. 1 on the payroll, but it's great. Well, great to. So you're busy. So you've got work streaming in. That's awesome.
What's happening with you, Nolan?
Getting ready for the summit. Right. That's we're all going to be there next week, I think, is when I fly out. Booking a lot of trainings. The end of the year, suddenly, just like fall, kind of like. I don't know where fall came from. Like fall was like hiding behind the door, and like the moment, like, you know, last week, suddenly fall's here and summer's gone. I feel like the end of the year, it like is right on the horizon. So I've got a lot of clients realizing that, saying, can we book Q4 stuff? Like we forgot to do that. So doing a lot of that. And I hopefully you will not hear a lot of banging, but there is work going on literally like a foot away from me outside my window.
So, I was going to say, don't you have to get some stuff wrapped up before fall turns into winter there?
We're trying. Yeah, no, I think now we're moving inside. We've got pretty much most of the outside done. So we're now moving in. But yeah, the house is moving forward. And we were just like, I architects and contractors are a lot like designers. One of my favorite definitions of being a graphic designer is just you move things around on a screen all day for a living. And there's some of that happening too. Like we were just deciding like how big a peak of the roof should be. And they just got up on the roof and got 2x4s and moved around. Said, how's this? How's this? How's this? And that's kind of where you start. And then, you know, then hopefully it'll be some actual drawings made, but yeah. So it's fun. It's fun doing it in 3D, not just on the computer. in real life. How about you, Troy? You're traveling.
Oh my gosh. Travel projects are filling my calendar so much so that it's kind of a problem in that I'm having a hard time. You know, Bethany and I were talking before you joined about the whole project management and how you coordinate stuff. And she was reliving her 6 weeks of no project managers. They went from one person to the other. Now they actually had sounded like, Bethany, you had the benefit of your original project manager actually helping with the hire or the listing. And yeah, we don't have that. And we're going on 6 months now. So that's what I'm doing. I was up till the wee hours actually just going through projects and just trying to keep things on track. So, but ironically, Nolan, the reason I was up in the wee hours, it became a problem is because I woke up in the wee hours on your time zone. I was just in Manhattan. I just flew back mm-hmm. yesterday. Took the first flight out, got back in time to do a bunch of work here, and that work just kind of kept going. You know, I spent time, took the dog for a walk, enjoyed the weather, cleaned the pool, and then said, oh, wait, it's midnight. I'm suddenly still at the computer.
Get to do anything? Did you get to do anything fun in New York City?
I did, only because I was the add-on. I wasn't supposed to be there. It was actually Lori's meeting, and I got this text message that says, hey, New York needs some extra support, and they're doing audience response stuff, you know, a polling, a live polling was that. And then I said, yep, here you go. I'll set it all up for you. And like the next day I get a message that says, great, here's your flights. You're running it and designing it. And I also need help with these other presentation things. So I wasn't planning on going to New York.
Troy thought he ran the company, and then suddenly people are going to fly.
Lori is definitely the CEO. Well, no, this was a good one. And it's a long-term client. We love it. But, you know, so I just got back a little bit, I was picking up equipment yesterday after I got back from mm-hmm. the airport for the presentation summit. And so anyways, there's a lot of PowerPoint mm-hmm. happening right now is what I could say.
And it sounds like you've been in New York City more in the last year than I have. That's another issue.
Hour out. Yeah, it was beautiful weather. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's
fall. Oh wait, I will bring it's up one thing I saw. So the reason I had so much fun is I was with my wife. So every evening, you know, we get to wander around and go find a good dinner. Found a fantastic Italian food place. Did a lot of good food. We're wandering around. Lori's like, hey, let's walk over by Rockefeller Center. I'm like, sure, iconic. You know, and anybody that's listening, you can picture the Christmas tree. You can also picture the skating rink at Rockefeller, you know, this and that. We're like walking closer. We're like, I think there's a concert going on. It might be like in the bowl there, or the pit mm-hmm. or whatever we call it. We get there. It's Roller Disco Tuesday. It was awesome. I was like, what the heck? I mean.
So do we have photos of you roller discoing?
No, unfortunately. Lori wanted to. I am. I loved it though. They had the ice skating, you know, the little triangles made out of like you know, PVC piping. I was like, I need the one that goes all the way around you if I'm going to get out there. But it was like just something you don't expect to find, especially in, well, I guess you can find anything in New York, but
that's true. Fun.
Okay. Moving on to conversation.
All right. Well, let's actually talk about some presentation stuff. So when we first started talking about this topic, Troy, I was thinking about repurposing material and things. I was thinking mostly about us sort of doing it in our tricks of the trade or what we, you know, how we save time and not really the clients doing the repurposing. So we'll get to us in a bit, but let me ask this larger question of how do you create work for clients that's intended for repurposing by them, right? Because, we've talked about the democracy of PowerPoint and everything, and that's one of the great, you know, characteristics of it. So a lot of what we create at times is for them to take the ball and run with it, right? So how do you create work, Troy, that's intended for repurposing by non-designers when sort of you exit the scene?
Okay, so first, I was aligned with you in that we would talk about how we, as the presentation designers, repurpose projects or work for our own projects. So we're totally good there, but I can see in my opening how that could miscommunicate the conversation of talking about how end clients would. It's just a phrase I've used for years and years and years to basically help clients justify why they're bringing in a professional designer. So let me get us into the conversation of how we presentation designers shortcut the design process by repurposing content. One of my examples is something I purchased, I'm going to say like 15 years ago. Here's what it is. I have a library of world map slides. They're editable. Now I know they're old, or you'll know they're old, because they're actually .emf vector objects, because that's what you used 15 years ago. And I really need to just go in and update all those to SVGs because EMF is ancient, but it still works. Ironically, based on the folder name, these were marketed for education use. and they're called eSchool World Maps. At least that's the folder name I have on my computer. Like I said, I have no idea what the original purchase was. And so I repurpose this thing all the time. Somebody says, hey, I need I want to highlight, this state in the US, or hey, I want to highlight, this region of the world. I just open up the slide deck, copy out those world maps, recolor them or stylize them to match the slides, and I'm done. I'm not going out and finding new vector artwork or a new image. I'm repurposing this same set of slides. I mean, this purchase has paid off like 15 years worth of use. Is that a good example?
Well, I think that's okay. Well, and we'll talk more about slide libraries and stuff. Well, Bethany, how much of your work is like set in stone? Like, this is what it is. Don't touch it, or it's not designed to be touched. And how much is meant to be sort of, taken and run with, and you expect the client to get their hands dirty and, hopefully not mess up your work and stuff.
Right. That's the catch, yeah. Right? I would say more and more, increasingly so, we're seeing people want stuff where it's kind of set up for them to either do recurring reporting, more and more templates. And you guys know I do a lot of Google Slides, so like that's a whole nother monster. So a lot of our work, we have to think really hard about like the end case and the use case for the client, because you have to find the balance between something that's well-designed and looks great and something that they're actually going to be able to work with. And a lot of the diagrams that we would use in a custom design project, for instance, with a lot of kind of transformed text or multiple shapes layered, that's just not going to work for something that a client wants to use later. So there's a lot of thought that goes into like, how nice can we make this graph until they're not going to be able to edit it anymore?
Right.
And with Google Slides especially, how do you make a template and a graph template that they can use without changing the way that Google Slides ties its graphs? If you copy and paste that graph into another slide, it still has the same base graph file. So if you update that graph file, you've updated it in all of the different presentations.
Whoa.
In which you used that.
Seems like that could be a disaster.
It is. It can be.
There's no way to break it, or?
You can break the links, but you can't then update it because Google Slides pastes an image of the graph from the sheets file into the slide. So it's not, they have to make a copy of the base sheets file every time. It's a mess. It's a mess. So there's a lot of upward training too when we're trying to design something that they're going to be able to run with.
So I've just become really, have been very careful about not doing these like incredibly heavy layered, like nobody can figure it out, whatever. Just because I guess going way back, what people used to do, and when I would work with other designers, one of my biggest frustrations is when people, make solid JPEGs, for slides, or they just make their animations so complex and confusing that they can't be tweaked or whatever. And so that's frustrating for me as a designer, because I can't edit it or edit it easily. And so something in my contracts, this is just a standard clause in my contracts, is we will make every effort to make everything live, editable, and vector when possible in PowerPoint. And that's just the approach I take, not just so I can repurpose it and I can edit more easily. So I can just say, yep, we're going to change that. It's not a raster, it's a vector. Great, change the color, we're done. But also knowing that I just think it's a good business practice to have it be open for the clients. And I know this is like philosophically, you'll ask, if you ask InDesign designers, like print designers, do you give your clients, the source files or just the PDFs? There's some that'll be, oh no, they have to pay extra for those source files. In PowerPoint, the files are the files, right? There's no extra thing. So I just philosophically, I'm like, whatever, you can have it. Like if you want to go and change the InDesign, if you want to make some edits or whatever.
Oh, come on. I know what you say is, if you want to destroy the file, you can, but you have to pay me for the first pass at it.
But honestly, too, don't we all get into the situations where you've delivered something to them and they send it all back and say, there's a typo on slide 43. Can you take out that period? I'm like, oh, for God's sake. Now I have to waste time and bill you to open it. When you saw it, you were right there. You could have just deleted it and fixed it. Like that's the PowerPoint is a democratic program for better and worse, right? Just like democracy is good and bad sometimes. So I'm just of that philosophy that I want things to be repurposed. Bethany, do you do any like slide dashboards or reporting metrics that like are very, very intended to be, you know, reused and like have their content slotted in?
It's been like, again, we've seen more and more of those in the last like 6 months. I've done like a ton of financial decks that are intended to work as their like quarterly or monthly reporting. And so what we've done for that, because graphing is one of those skill sets where if this person is a finance professional, right? But do they know how to make a graph? No, that's a dangerous question. So we do a lot of like, we know we make the graph and then there's a lot of instructionals on the side. You know, if you mess something up, here's how you get it back. And we also offer like 30-minute graphing, like intro, like workshops, just really short, quick bites. Because a lot of it's kind of surprising how little people know about graphing and PowerPoint, and those they get really hooked up on those differences from Excel to PowerPoint. So yeah, we've had a lot of that lately, and setting that up can be kind of a
it's I thought you were gonna it's surprising how little people know what they need to know to do their job, right?
I was actually going the opposite. I was like, man, some of the most intense conversations I have are with financial or analyst realm people that know the ins and outs of Excel and graphing, and they want to do just amazing things. It's like, we can do all of that, but to keep it for everybody else to use, PowerPoint's a little bit more simplistic. You know, we got to work through these rules, but I've run across things. I'm like, I have no idea how that was done. I'm going into Excel and trying to backwards engineer some of these visuals that are created. I'm like, this is amazing. On the other hand, this is a lot of work for what we actually want to accomplish for this talk, you know? I was going the exact opposite of like, wow, I find people are way more knowledgeable on graphing. And I think I'm pretty good at knowing how to visualize all data and put it in space. But man, there are some people that definitely know it. And
well, that's true. Excel can be a very different animal. And if you are an Excel head, you know things that I can't even be, because we start getting into math and functions and I can't.
I think that's really the problem. It's like upward training for people. If you want your graphs to look nice, you want to use PowerPoint. But the trade-off is that, you know, some of that like super granular, very data-driven stuff is not going to work in a slide. And partly that's because you're probably presenting to people who aren't as in it as you are. So there's kind of that coaching that has to go into it as well. Like, stop thinking about every single detail being on your graph because you love it. Mm-hmm. Start thinking about how this graph is going to communicate.
I've heard some talks about that.
That's what I do. I am not a, you know, I teach data visualization. I am not the best at Excel. Like I'm okay. I'm good. But I do not know all those ins and outs and everything. And so I live in fear of always of a hand being raised. It's like, how do you do a multifunction pivot table? That's not me. But I can tell you, to your point, like, when it comes to PowerPoint presenting, I don't want to say dumbed down, but it's a different way of presenting data. It's not the, you know, heavy, dense. It's got to be done in a slightly different way.
Hey, Nolan, can I just clarify? When you said, do you create slide dashboards and reporting metrics, was this kind of a static look, or were you thinking interactive, like BI type stuff?
I was thinking, you know, more static in terms of, I mean, obviously people have to put in the inputs, but you're right. I mean, and did we cover, I think we did cover that bit of news that Power BI, I know nothing about, but Power BI is the way to have a dynamic dashboard. And that's usually what a lot of people do. And now you can import those into PowerPoint and link them. Bethany, have you?
Because I was staying very quiet because I don't do the interactive stuff. Yeah. I was staying very quiet. But yeah,
again, all the quote interactive stuff starts to get away from presentation, that one to many. It becomes one person looking at it. And I mean, not always. I mean, you can certainly present and, you know, what if we did this? What if we did this? But yeah. So I mean, I've occasionally done like social media kits for clients in PowerPoint where they can swap photos, change text, and like save out their Instagram post, and they seem to love that. So that's
a lot of what we do in the Presentation Guild for our social cards and stuff like that. We have like templates that are just built and in PowerPoint, so you don't have to have Adobe Suite to do everything.
I think it's amazing.
Or Canva.
Everybody can utilize it. Okay. Have you ever seen your work like something you know you designed, like somebody repurposed it later and you just see it, like, was it like a good or bad surprise? Like, hey, I know that.
That looks familiar, Bethany.
I've had some good surprises where, you know, they'll say, we're, you know, it's earnings again, and I'll get the deck and I'm like, all right, they used the base graphs, they updated them, they didn't measure them too badly, there's some cleanup. And then I've seen stuff where I'm like, whoa, you know, and you're like, well, that is going to take me so long to fix this that I might as well start from scratch. And as much as you try to kind of dumb it down, there's just no accounting for like what time people are going to have to be able to spend on their decks or the skill levels. Like, I think it's most disappointing when I see them go back to just like pasting pictures of their Excel graphs.
That's just painful. Yeah. Especially when they come back to your point, Nolan, can you change the period? You're like, you know, they're like, hey, can we just make 2023 forecast be this number? You're like, you put it in as an image. So at that point, you're like, do I just recreate it or do I go through the cycle of communicating that I need the editable content? Mm-hmm. Nolan, have you ever seen anything like repurposed and kind of like, yeah, well, hey, I mean, that's me.
I see it all the time because I have a lot of regular clients and, you know, we make templates and various things and they come back or they'll send the work to us, you know, to design. They're like, well, we based it off of the last one. And sometimes, again, like the skill levels are all over the place. Sometimes it's, as Bethany said, it's a horror show. And other times I'm like, it's not that bad. I mean, I'm happy to try to do a little more, but yeah, it kind of looks pretty good. And then, you know, I have one or two clients that are really good, but they apologize. They're like, it's not like I used what you did, but it doesn't look very good. And I got some images from Unsplash and I put them in and I look at it. I'm like, it's really good actually. And it's totally workable. And I love seeing non-designers succeed. It, like in presentation, that's because I do so much training. So I love seeing that, honestly. And sometimes it means less work for me, then that's totally fine. But I like seeing it.
I totally agree. It's funny because they're like, okay, the student has approached the master. You're like,
well, it's the power of PowerPoint. You could repurpose and look good right away. So right. So here's an example. I mean, I see a presentation from an executive or a marketing person at one of our big corporate clients and go, hey, I designed that. I mean, we had one, it was like a NASDAQ reporting. So I'm like, hey, that's our stuff right there. Mm-hmm. I got a really funny story. So a buddy of mine gives me a call, says, hey, how would you do this and this and this? Now we're talking about a interactive, trade show booth, you know, on a big touchscreen panel. It's basically just being driven by slides, but it's, you know, it's a touchscreen navigation and all kinds of great stuff, embedded videos, layering, this and that. And I'm like, wow, that's a pretty complex question. Here's how I'd do it. So the conversation evolves like, yeah, so what I'm trying to modify is this. I'm like, wait, where are you? That's my project you're describing. He's like, yeah, I know it is. Cause I looked in the file properties. It says created by TLC Creative. So I'm calling you cause they want to change this thing for the event I'm coordinating. And I don't know how you actually accomplished this. I'm like, that's pretty funny. Cause one, they didn't contract us to redo the work. And two, they're just having you drop into it, but watch what you do in your file properties. It could give hints away as to who did what.
So there was a conversation among a lot of us like a couple months ago about how to surreptitiously or, you know, maybe boldly or whatever, put in ownership on a deck, right? Like putting in metadata or, I mean, the easiest thing is just put in the properties.
The file properties, yeah.
But just because I think whenever we open other work that's good, like that we didn't design, we always want to know who did it, right? And I think that's the thing. Like I would love to open up something and say, oh, yeah, Troy. Oh, Bethany. Like that's,
yeah, I think it'd be
it.
Cool to have more than the file properties. So here's another funny story. At the medical conference, it was just the topic of the previous podcast episode, Echo, who was part of our on-site presentation experts team, all of a sudden she just started laughing because a doctor's presentation that she was looking at was built on a template that she created like 20 years ago. She's like, that's my template. Like literally Microsoft rolled this thing out. He's like, I can't believe this thing's still in use. Hey, there's repurposing of your work. It just came back. I thought that was pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. do any of your clients like make an official effort to reuse content? And I'm asking this because Sandy, who can't be with us today, but she told us a story. She has apparently two clients. One of them has set a metric. I don't know how you do this, but set a metric for reusing 90% of previous content created in presentation, and another client has a target of 80%, like to reuse slides, but to really, I guess, metric that out somehow.
I think so, that sounds amazing. That's like a recycling program on an extreme level. Like,
right.
How do they even do that though? Like where I feel like sometimes I know I have such like a memory for which project is which project that I can quickly find something I want to repurpose or pull from one client to another. But I can't imagine being someone with an actual job to do who then is like, I remember where that slide was.
Sandy has some clients that use some pretty robust
slide management
libraries where you go in to build your deck and you say, hey, I need the financials for 2021 Q3. And it brings up a library of slides. They're in a master location, whether it be web-based or server-based. I don't play in that field at all. We have created... So on a past project, that's a couple of years back, we did similar. It was a company that was looking to accomplish that. I'm pretty sure their metric would be way lower than what Sandy's clients have accomplished. But we took hundreds of slides. I mean, hundreds from all their analysts, and we put them all onto a new master corporate template that we had rolled out. And this template was a beast. It had like 150 layouts. And we actually broke it down. We're like, this is just too much. We recommend you have a core template, then you have an ancillary template. And when you paste it in, you're going to, you know, keep those layouts with you, which is something we don't normally say. Anyways, so they did that with the idea that they would have access to all this information, and they used something that I generally cringe at. They had linked charts throughout, so that they could open up the previous iteration. I know you guys are smiling about this. I'm like, oh, because there's so, you get so limited on design options on linked stuff when you don't have the, you know, access to the actual source file. But it was a really, really, really big project. And their goal was to do something like that. I'm sure their vision was, we're going to do 90%, you know, cut our work down by 90% because you're going to open up this library. I don't know if it executed that way, but I mean, companies are out there trying to do it.
We have two of our larger clients for whom we did pretty robust templates. You know, we encourage them to keep their layouts smaller because I just feel like when you go too granular on layouts, you actually like kind of step on your own feet a little bit.
But great brain fog. People like lock up, like, I don't know what to do. There's too many options.
Paradox of choice. Yeah.
But one thing that we've done for both of those clients was that, you know, they've got their big template with all their samples and their assets. And then additionally, they've got a slide library, and that's, you know, in sections, it's like the about us section. Here's what to use about clients. Here's about financials. So that people, when they're creating mostly, they usually use it for pitch decks, honestly, but for other types of things are also, and they'll just go through these like giant 200 slide files to find either something that they can just reuse wholesale or something that they can update and move forward. So that's been a way that clients are, they don't have that sophisticated technology that you were talking about with Sandy's clients, that where it's as searchable, but even just within a PowerPoint file, if it's well organized, and of course you can always use, you know, the find command to get some of that, good stuff.
You know, we haven't talked about the feature of PowerPoint that I don't think a lot of people use. It's called reuse slides, right? I mean, what you were just
rebuilt to be usable, but it's very powerful, but very confusing.
It's basically what Bethany was just talking about. Like you're in a file, you can quote reuse slides and open up within the file, you can get little thumbnails of those 200 slides, you know, for example, and then just bring them in. But I feel like I don't use it. I find other people don't use it, and it's slow sometimes. But that's the theory, that you're in one deck, you just want to like pull in things without having to technically open the other file, right? Did I kind of describe it accurately?
I think so. One of my clients uses it and asked me to like train on it, and I was kind of like, I don't.
Just more work than it's just open the other file, right? Just like go in slide sorter mode. It's quicker. And you just,
I got something to throw out there. This is a very simplistic thing, but I've actually been pretty amazed by it. I, for my talk at the presentation summit, I wanted some, I was like, oh, there's some quote slides, you know, preset boilerplate. I literally was repurposing content. And I was like, where do we have those quote slides? I am finding that Microsoft Teams, which indexes everything stored basically on SharePoint, is really good. I went into the you open up Teams. I went into search. I just put in quote, and then it gives you, like, are you talking about people or files? And obviously, I click files because it actually reads the content of every slide. I have been pretty amazed at how you can find stuff that way. I mean, it's basically a slide library index, mm-hmm. but it's across everything you have shared within Teams. Sometimes it's hard to filter that down.
Interesting.
But it's pretty darn amazing as a simplistic approach to that.
I mean, the find on Mac OS, I use all the time, just the I don't know what it's called, but it indexes everything. So yeah, if I'm looking for...
That's everything on your computer, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And drop. Yeah. Everything that.
Oh,
that
it does. It does it actually index things you're connected to, like Dropbox or other network?
Well, yeah. I mean, in Dropbox, I also have everything locally as well. So
Okay. So that makes
everything sense. That's synced locally from your Dropbox, your Finder will search all of it. And so you can search for a certain phrase just in, like, your, you know, folder structure finder, which is, I mean, leads me to our next question, right? So we've been talking a lot about, like, what the clients, you know, how we can make things repurposable for the clients. But what about us? How do you guys save yourselves time?
I subcontract with you, Bethany. I have, you know, what templates, I have a standard starter template file that I use to create new templates. It gets rebuilt every once in a while. But I've definitely been known to use client templates to create. If I'm creating a new template, generally I'll do it from scratch with it. But if I'm just creating a one-off deck, and for example, I've just built a really good template I like, I might use that to start because I know I've got everything set up nicely. And generally, because if I'm doing a project without that doesn't have to be a template itself, I'll at least want to start with a well-built template, and then I take stuff away, you know, take layouts away, take, you know, other stuff away. But I know it's a good file, so I'm not starting with, you know, your just general default and having. But yeah, so instead of, like, having to build a color palette from scratch, I just edit the color palette instead, you know, so I'm editing things, but I know it's built well. But I've got, like, you know, PowerPoint asset files, like Troy, like you were saying, the maps. I've got my maps. I've got, you know, all my named, you know, things. I've got my shapes that I use all the time. You know, I've got my gradient, you know, boxes and things that I just copy paste. I timelines I loathe doing by this point in my life. So I have a collection of them, and yeah, I'll just, like, that one looks good. And
I think designers definitely come up with a style, because a lot of this conversation is repurposing and people kind of identify, like, oh, this is your style.
No, it's so just because I'm using it over.
It's what it actually is. It's just so much that, like, no, I'm being an efficient designer and I've already designed these professional things. So on the template thing, we have a master file called Build a Template, and it's
like
our
build,
internal.
It's like Build-A-Bear. You go to the mall.
It pretty much is. And to your point, you take away stuff you don't need, because it's a massive document. So internal only, no one asked for it, please. Mm-hmm. It's our IP. But it's how we create all of our templates. I kind of, like, was cringing as you were talking, Nola. Like, we never start from an existing file or template. We always just go into our build a template, and because it's faster just to rebuild it and make sure everything's right and not have mm-hmm. one XML thing broken. So I think we shortcut just hours of work creating a template. Now, we also have a base price, I'll just say, for any template we're building, because there is 80 plus hours into that document. Mm-hmm. It has so many already things put in there. I wanted to say something about templates as you were talking.
Well, I have my checklist of things to do on the template, and the first 30 or 40 items are in the starter file.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, we've already done it. So the client has to pay for that.
So, and then I guess internally, Bethany, we've built, like Nolan was saying, we have a library of reference presentations. You know, I'm just opening up my folder right now. You know, we have a social media logos. It's just a PowerPoint file with all the social media files. Somebody goes in every couple of months and makes sure they're updated. So, like, on Facebook, I actually have I'm on this Facebook page. I have a hierarchy of them, like old and new.
Vine. What's that? Let's get rid of that one.
you know, I have a document here for pre-built complex animations. I mean, so it's just a shape, but that way we can use the animation painter on it. So they're complex animations that are ready to go instead of recreating all those animations. Gives you a good thing. Mm-hmm. I use that one all the time, especially now that we're back to in-person meetings where we can use animation. Oh, you know what? I got one. I shared this as part of last year's presentation summit, ironically, just because we're all going to be there in a couple of weeks. A couple of days. A slide deck. We have a slide deck of preset PowerPoint gradients. So I did a talk on PowerPoint gradients. It was like one of the easiest talks I've ever prepared. Don't tell Rick Altman. Because we, as a, I assigned to our design team like a year or so ago, like, hey, everybody, I want you all to come up with 10 gradients that are just unique, unique uses of the gradient tool. You know, so like things like the perspective shadow, you know, the circle that's squished and, you know, feathered out edges, you know. So we have this file of like 80, 90 slides of just gradients and just copy paste and repurpose those things instantly. If I need a white box that gradients feathers off to nothing, I don't even design them anymore. I just open up that document and copy and paste it in, because we actually have it at all four axes. Like, here's one going to the left, one to the right, up, down, you know, just paste it in and modify it from there. So yeah, we repurpose things all the time.
Besides design assets, which we have like the same kind of thing going on, like the design assets like folder with our starter files and all sorts of graphics that you can just pull. One thing I've realized, like since the team grew a lot and changed a lot this year, is how important repurposing knowledge has been, because you learn so much as a professional, right? Like we talk about, you know, 10 years went into me knowing how to do this slide super fast, right? And so remembering to repurpose even just our knowledge bases has been really important for us. So we have, you know, we have documents, like we have a design manual now where like all of our SlideRabbit standards go in there, and additional tips and tricks that we, that may or may not be appropriate per project. And it's like a living document that's constantly growing, and that's in Google Slides because some of you have access to it all the time, but that's become very important to us. We've, you know, kind of upped our, I never want to have a company where it's like, you have six meetings today, but adding a little bit of like time for like the designers to huddle, or like a little bit of like what we call our fluffle hour, fluffle means a group of rabbits. We have one of those every month where we share either some knowledge or we kind of do some bonding activities together, but creating kind of a knowledge base that can be accessed beyond just the assets themselves has been really helpful for us.
Hold on, Bethany. Fluffle. How would you spell that? No, seriously.
Now I'm not going to be able to spell it. F-L-U-F-F-L-E.
And it means a group of rabbits?
Yeah.
Like, so not like not a warren? Is it a...
A warren, I think, is a family group.
Okay.
You know,
I'm totally using this today. I'm going into the...
Just friends. I love learning new words. I knew kerfluffle. A kerfluffle? Bethany, yeah, that's like a... everything's going haywire, right?
That's chaos. Okay. I'm bringing this up. Our IT manager, Bethany, this may be totally irrelevant trivia to everybody but you, they raise the gentle giant Flemish, like 20 plus pound rabbits. Like they're a certified like world breeder for them. I mean, they're like these house pets. They're like 20 pound fluffy rabbits. They're amazing. They're thousands of dollars. I mean, I thought puppies could be expensive, but I am totally bringing this word. I'm just word dropping this one today when I'm in the office.
A fluffle is a group of bunnies. I love that.
That's right. I want one of those giant Flemish rabbits.
Oh my gosh. I can set you up. They're actually driving to like Iowa to pick up a new male because there's such a small contingent. I mean, I've learned so much about rabbits in the past year. It's amazing.
I just this is the first result when I Googled fluffle. It's a definite, but I'm just going to read this. It's a group of bunnies is called a fluffle. It says, yes, you read that right. The ever appropriate name is used to refer to wild rabbits, which can also be called a colony. But why would you stick with fluffle?
Exactly. I love
it. All right. What were we talking about? We were talking about rabbits and I have logos. I assume you all have, you mentioned social media logos. I've been collecting logos for like 20 years, right? I mean, I've got a massive, massive collection, which I rely on, right?
Yeah.
How do you make sure they're updated? I feel like logos are so scary in that they update.
Well, they are. Well, I'll often check it. I mean, If I don't know, you know, if it's a logo, you know, I haven't used in a while, I'll check the website. But I'm still ahead of the game because very often, it is the right one. Great, checked it, done. And if it's not, then I have to go and replace it. But you know, getting logos can be really difficult sometimes. And,
wait, I have a great repurposing logo story, example. This is amazing. So one of our larger clients owns literally thousands of IP properties. And at one point, the executive team said, I need a logo for X toy. And we're like, man, where do we find that? That thing hasn't been, you know, produced in years. So one of the projects, and Lori was the lead on this, the project became literally, I think, a team of five designers researching the logos for this company. And we created a one slide called Logo Soup, hundreds of logos on it. So,
I think I've seen the slide.
And Lori's used it in a couple examples. This is a big deal. It's for Mattel toys. It's all public knowledge out there. But then she created an animated version. So you could, you know, they're all, you know, they all build on, there's a couple of versions, but the important thing if it is, you can open up I'm at a total loss for a name of a feature in selection PowerPoint. Pane. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I was just totally losing it. We opened up the selection pane. We named every single logo on the selection pane, and they're listed in alphabetical order. So if you need a logo, you click it in the selection pane and it highlights on the slide. You copy and then you paste it into your wherever you're working. So this is like a resource of resource. This thing is now, you know, the whole world's just gone wacky because I can't get timelines of anything with this whole pandemic shutdown of the world. I think it's now 2 years old and this thing lives on and, you know, but it's called Logo Soup and it is used not only by our design team, it's used by other designers. It's used by all of their, you know, marketing and their executive team. It is like the core reference for all of their logos now. It was like, I think the bill on that was crazy. It was five designers working for probably 8 days to build this thing. Think of the amount of time it saves people now. Yeah. I mean, they paid a fair amount of money to have this resource. The animation portions were used for an actual specific meeting. But I mean, this resource saves people because they have it on their server. It's accessible to everybody in the company. I mean, it's a great, great repurposing tool. I hadn't thought about that one. Yeah, Logo Soup is the name of it.
The selection pane can be, I didn't think about that. That's a huge part of repurposing because you can easily just click, boom. Like if you, it's all alpha, all your logos are alphabetized, right? In the selection pane. So you just go down, pick it, click it, copy it. Like I do that with maps, like world maps, like all the countries. I spent a long time, you know, naming all the countries. Yeah. So if I need to, you know, highlight Tanzania, like where is that? You know, just go down to T, boop, and then it highlights.
Oh, funny story. The e-school maps, that was before selection pane was the original file on that was a .ppt. I know it was because I remember us updating it. So we assigned somebody on our team to go in there and basically name all of the vector shapes by, you know, somebody had to have a Google Maps open. So we do have them all like that. But, you know, so we've actually modified the original file. I'm sure you can buy them now with all those things named.
I remember I used to, on my bookshelf in the old days, one of the most important things was an atlas because I would have the world map. I'm like, where's this country? I would always do something. But now with, you know, everything named, didn't have to. So is there anything that shouldn't be reused? Are there situations where you shouldn't or can't reuse content?
Well, I guess, hold on. I'm going to just go with the obvious. Anything that has client content, you know, financials, patient information, you cannot reuse those elements as is. You can take the
I'm
design.
I'm not supposed to share confidential information.
I'm just going to go with that's the obvious don't reuse. But what are you thinking?
Stock imagery for me, that's sort of the big thing because, and I do have to explain this time and time again to certain clients that I pay for an iStock account that allows me to use it and to give it to the client. And they're allowed to use that imagery in the context of my design. They can cut and paste the slide from deck to deck, but they can't take the image out and put it on the website or really even make a new slide with it. So that is something since I still retain my monthly membership, I can do that. Like I can go find an image I used, you know, in an old deck and reuse it something new, but they can't. So that's something there. But also just my own. And so, you know, this has to go into contracts and everything I say you can't do, but it's also my work too. I remember once I had created a bunch of icons or graphics or something as part of something, a program for a client. And I heard later they said, oh yeah, we love these so much. We're now using them on our website. And that was not prohibited by my contract at the time, it is now, because it's technically a different, it's a different use case. And if you want to suddenly use my one deck, you know, for your whole company to, you know, for your whole system, that's your icon system now, that you're going to have to pay for that. So you just got to be careful.
That we have a similar, I don't know, phrase clause in our contract. And it's probably the one that gets the most confusion and pushback. And I don't think it's because it's hard to explain to the client. You can use this presentation as much as you want. It can pull forward, but there are limits. And they're like, well, we want to own the whole thing. And I'm like, well, you know, there's just some stuff you can't own our artwork. It's the copyright will always stay with us. That's how it works. And so then it's just a nightmare. So we honestly end up like striking that clause and just writing in like,
don't be a jerk.
Yeah, don't be a jerk. That's essentially what it is. Or sometimes when we contract to other, like a marketing agency, mm-hmm. and we'll tell them you can't reuse this. You can't go in. And we actually, this is another, this is kind of my list of like where I won't go as far as repurposing, because we'll have clients come in, you know, inquiries come in and they'll say, we really want a template. And I'm like, well, here's where our templates start, right? Here's, they're all custom built. And they'll say, can't you take something you designed for someone else and just switch the colors and the logo? And I'm like, no, that's insane. You know, I'm not going to take someone else's, essentially their IP at that point, right? Their template and just change to kind of crib their full design. So there's a line between smart and lazy, I guess, when it comes to repurposing work.
I do not know where that line is, Bethany, but go on.
wait, hold on. Now I got to interrupt because I just suddenly remembered where Nolan, you were talking about, Nolan, you were talking about templates up above. And I said, there's something I wanted to say. And Bethany, you just reminded me. So, and I think I'm okay legally on this one. Now I'm listening to Bethany. So we design concepts and this just happened like this week. We build out, you know, template concepting, you know, Bethany, you do it all the time, like, you know, this, that, and the client picks option three. Well, mm-hmm. option two was so amazing. I literally wrote the designer and said, hey, go ahead and build this, you know, strike the company name, go with a more generic color scheme or their company logo and put this into our library. So we do have a library of templates ready to go, especially award show looks. So we will repurpose our own work. Hadn't thought this one through, Nolan. This is totally repurposing. We'll take stuff that was either conceptual or we'll take an award show that we built out because it's very generic and we'll just reskin that or take away the client specific stuff. So we have a library of, you know, hundreds of templates at this point. So we can come up with quick starters. Never works for a corporate, you know, corporate template because it's all based on their internal, you know, their actual company branding. But we do repurpose our own templates by adding them to our own library. But yeah, we don't take another person's template and say, let's just modify that. That would make my skin crawl, just not knowing how everything was built on the underside and knowing
we should, good time to point out the PowerPoint has a great stock imagery collection that's actually sourced from some pretty nice places. But you can only use that within Microsoft Office. So you're like, I have access to all this stuff. You cannot copy it into a website or into InDesign or something. And the same thing with fonts. I'm not even going to say it, but there is a way to technically get cloud fonts for use elsewhere. You're not allowed to do that. You can't do it. I'm not going to tell you how. Your license agreement doesn't allow for that. So
we just had a really interesting one on a total side note here, Nolan, on fonts. And Bethany, see if you had this client comes to us and their corporate font is an Adobe Typekit font. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, can you build our upcoming meeting in this case using this font? We're like, yeah, sure. But they were handing that off to their subsidiaries to use. Well, they don't have the font. And they come back to us like, hey, it all is, you know, font default. I'm like, well, yeah, we have Adobe licensing. We loaded the font. PowerPoint Office recognizes that font on our computer. If you move it to a computer that doesn't have an Adobe license, a Creative Cloud license. Well, there's a couple of dilemmas with it. One, you have to have Adobe Creative Cloud installed and active on every computer this presentation is going to be used. But two, because it's through PowerPoint, there's no connection to Adobe to say, hey, this is a font in Typekit. Do you want to load it? I mean, you have to know. We give a lot of painstaking steps in the hidden slide up front to say, you're going to have to open this up. And they got very like, well, but we see it and you see it. Why don't other people see it? And I'm like, talk to Nolan.
Oh my gosh. Explaining fonts to clients has got to be one of my least favorite things to do, because I understand from their perspective why it makes no sense. Right. So I had a client the other day and I was like, hey, your custom font is not loading for us. So we're seeing everything in Calibri. So, or is it Calibri or Calibri? Does anyone know?
I've always said Calibri.
I go with Calibri. So popular vote says Calibri. There it is.
So I was trying to explain to her, I was like, well, it's substituting because it's not embedded and we don't have the custom font. So can you send me the custom font? She's like, oh, it's just the font that's in the presentation. So maybe just copy and paste it.
Because they're viewing the default. We get this all the time. People are viewing the default. They don't know it's a default. I like using SlideWise. I've actually taken screen captures showing their slide and I use their font asset and it shows it. But this is you know what I'm talking about. In SlideWise, you click, you open SlideWise and it tells you what fonts are embedded, images, videos, all this set. And it'll highlight the ones that are not, you know, they're custom fonts. They're not installed in your computer. And I can literally say, well, here's part of the problem. By the way, I'm doing a font talk at the presentation summit, so I'm really into this whole mindset. I've been thinking through font slide. But, I'm like, well, first of all, here's the problem. Your presentation has 19 fonts used in it somewhere. This tool tells you where they are. You should only have 3 per your own style guidelines. You know, this is a problem with repurposing content with PowerPoint, that it brings in attributes you're not expecting. But here's the thing that got me. Guys at New Power, here's something that got me. It says at the top, you know, number of fonts, you know, 5, 10, 29, whatever it is. But then it says not embedded. So I had a smart, really observant client goes, well, why don't you just embed them for us? Would that fix it? It's like, well, I don't have those fonts is what I'm trying to convey. So no, I can't embed it. And I actually have some huge hangups about embedding. So actually it gave more information, created a whole different conversation, Bethany, that I then had to go explain how font embedding works. And no, I can't just say embed if I don't own, if I don't have, anyways.
Maybe I should attend that font talk and record it and then repurpose it whenever I need to explain fonts to clients, because it's really one of my favorite things.
I have a lot of good things to say about Microsoft Cloud fonts, by the way, because I think the breadth of options is really, really nice now compared to where it was. But there's a lot going on with fonts. But I'm mainly, side note conversation. But I did get in this whole conversation with a client who said, well, why don't you just embed it? It says right there, it's not embedded. I'm like, damn, that just created a whole nother conversation. But reusing content can actually lead to some, like people that bring in a slide that has linked data that you don't have access to because it was behind a corporate firewall. I don't think people understand the ramifications of that down the road. Like, no, I can't edit that chart. It's linked. No, that we have, linked images, linked videos. I just did a really cool one using, I shy away from, putting a YouTube video into a slide, but the video online video one now lets you pull in Vimeo. Well, obviously Microsoft streaming video source, but anyways, I used Vimeo because I hadn't really realized that was an option. It worked really nice. The file size, because the client had they had a 600 meg video. I was like, okay, I can optimize it down to like 170 megs and still retain high quality, but that is not going to be emailable. So I sent them the slide. I put it on our Vimeo account. I sent it to them. Like, this slide plays great. It has a lot of, your file now is 300K because it's just referencing an online thing. There's some drawbacks to it. You need to be online. You can't stylize it. You can't crop it. You can't trim it, because those features aren't there. But I was really impressed with it. But I think that's a new path for repurposing, because I then told them, you can then go into Vimeo and just turn that video off or replace it with something else, so everybody automatically has, updated content. And they got really, the guy on their sales team, like, wait a minute, let's talk about that for my project, and led to another project we don't have time for.
All right. Any last sort of items for repurposing that we haven't talked about? I just thought of CRTX files, chart templates, are a way of sort of repurposing a design you've made in, Troy, you talked about Animation Painter, which is awesome. CRTX files work a little bit different, but
how do you roll this out to a client and explain it?
Well, that is difficult. I mean, they can't. They can be rolled out by IT. They can all be, mm-hmm. Installed and where it should be. And in which case, the client may not even realize how they're working. They just go and they see, oh, there's a chart style I can apply. But usually with chart templates, you still have to do something else after you do it. But that's a.
Just toss that one to IT. They're like, how do we install it? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Ask your IT department.
All it has to go is in one place. There's a path. I mean, it's where it should go.
I got one.
Yep.
Yeah, I mentioned animations up above. Mm-hmm. Do you both have, I'm just going to go with, I'm assuming you both have BrightSlide installed. Yes. Do you use BrightSlide's? Have you ever looked at their, what do they call it? The My Animations tool?
Yeah. Used it a little bit. I can't say that I have a whole catalog right now. They give you some starter animations, but I've been hoping that they one day will release all their animations as a catalog.
You could build in, you could take your custom animations and you can, there's only 30 slots, which is the caveat. You can't have more than 30 custom animations. And it's a really smart implementation. There's a older PowerPoint add-in, PPT Extreme, that had a very similar setup for it, and amazing library of animation. The guy who put that together is just phenomenal. But this, I repurpose animations all the time. I said we have a slide deck full of them, but this basically is like my top 30. I mean, I literally have all 30 slots filled out, but I have like 9 ways of animating text in. Just click done, and that's really cool. And I like that as an option.
We don't get to do as many animated decks. We're trying to kind of move back in that direction. We've been doing so many templates lately, and I feel like everyone's like templated out. So I'm going to try to get us back into some more flashy, fun event design. We just did one really cool one, but I'd like to have an option to use that more. Another thing I was thinking about that I do repurpose, and I think this counts, but when I'm doing a training for a client, rather than making up slides about kind of dummy slides, I go back to their body of work and I'll pull the slide that they sent us originally and the slide that we sent them back, and then talk about the steps in between. So rather than, kind of creating examples, I'm using their specific content and look and feel. So that's been a really like positive.
It's a great repurposing.
Yeah.
Like tangent, not where you normally think of. That's a, reuse the client's own stuff to demonstrate. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, here's what you did wrong.
I try to use client examples when possible. Mm-hmm. Although to some time I'm like, I'll send me some charts and I'll redo them. And they send, rastered charts. And I'm like, can't do anything
about,
with this.
I think the only other thing I can think of is, designing with kind of the future, like that future planning. So when we, we'll design preset slides, or we'll pull a slide from a file we worked on. Like, this is really awesome. Let's kind of save this as a generic version and put it in our library of looks to build out. But we'll update it so that like all the shapes or the text are using template colors, the pre-assigned templates. So when you drop it into any other presentation, it picks up the attributes of that, as opposed to just saying, hey, this is blue, like a locked blue. We'll use a template color so that it automatically updates. Now, sometimes you don't want that, but it's easier to undo it than it is to realize, oh, that's not the right blue in this company's blue.
So you just reminded me, in my agency days, when we were doing pitches, we basically had three options. We would either, the look of the pitch would either be our standard agency template, which I always pushed for, but they were like, no, it's got to look like the client. So another option would be to design it from scratch to make it look like the client, which they always wanted. But the middle option was to use our agency template and just do a quick reskinning to make it look like the client, just change the font, change the color, add their logo, and boom, you have a custom template. And we would do that when we didn't have time or there just wasn't the money to do it. And because everything was properly made, everything was assigned to color chips and everything. And I love doing that because like literally in 5 minutes, you could have a quote custom template that really wasn't.
I know, but Nolan, that second option is how we met.
Probably.
That is how we met, because Edelman, they didn't have they needed help getting those like super client custom look and feels together. So back when Tara and I used to work overnight, which we do not anymore, We used to help on those. And that's that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, Bethany, I know it's 6 o'clock on a Friday and we need this Monday morning at 9. You can do it, right?
Like, yes. Yeah, I'm starting a company, so I guess so. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I hired Bethany way back then.
Way back.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you. Troy, you wanna wrap up?
Let's wrap up this conversation. First of all, Bethany, thanks for joining us. This has been fantastic. Sandy, we miss you. I know you've got a lot of great things to say here, and we'll continue the conversation about everything. And next episode, well, actually, wait, our next episode is going to be live from the Presentation Summit. So it's going to be a random conversation of all kinds of presentation people together. But repurposing content, to Nolan's point of the original focus, is, hey, as designers, we do this all the time. It makes our job easier, faster, more professional because we are providing a lot of services in a great turnaround, and we're using our own expertise literally for our work. But clients, end users, everybody that has owns PowerPoint in one way or another, they get the ability to repurpose content, sometimes to the detriment of legality, or to the detriment of their own styling, because they'll pull something from another deck that has nothing to do. We didn't really go down the Frankenstein route where people just start pulling together ideas and suddenly you have this great deck of randomness. It, you know, there is no continuity, no through line. So in conclusion, repurposing, PowerPoint makes it easy. PowerPoint can be set up to leverage that as a useful tool, and as we just went down many random paths, there are lots and lots of ways of doing that. So, hey, thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining us here at the Presentation Podcast. And we look forward to talking to you next week. But don't go, because we have some pro and tech tips before we wrap up.
All right. Well, my tip is kind of in honor of Bethany, who has a menagerie of animals, right? Or certainly more than I do. So this is it's called the Furs Off Pet Hair Remover. You get this on Amazon, and we had the back of our car, our dog just sheds. He's like, his like this wiry hair. He's a hound. And the back of our car is black and he's white. And so whenever we put it back, it just like embeds in that like automotive carpet. And so this stuff, it's made of like crushed glass. It looks like a pumice stone kind
of. Wait, hold on. Is this to be used on the pet or on the car?
No, on the car. So it's like, it looks like a pumice stone, but it's apparently made of like crushed glass. So you want to like use a glove because it could like get in your, so you use a glove. But anyway, you just like spray down the carpet a tiny bit, and then you just like rub this thing over it, and whatever it does, it works. It just gets all that hair, not all, most of the hair, like out embedded. And I found this on like a YouTube detailing, car detailing, like web, like video. Anyway, Furs Off Pet Hair Remover. It's the best thing I found to get pet hair out of car carpets.
I am ordering this right now on Amazon. Yeah. By the way, it says 42% off. It's only $10.99. It'll be
it's a deal. It's a deal.
It'll show up in 2 days, and I am using it because we have the same scenario.
That was so cute, VC. I absolutely loved it. We're like, it's only $10.99.
Okay. Pro and tech tips. So this has come up several times since we noted that Cameo is now 100% rolled out to, I should caveat, all Office 365 users. And this tip is actually part of my presentation talk that I'm doing on Cameo. So, hey, sneak peek. PowerPoint has a record tab, like at the top there, which is called recording on PowerPoint for Mac. Side note, why are those inconsistent? Record, recording. It's the same exact feature. Okay, this is not where you find Cameo. Although, if you're using Cameo to record a presentation, you would think it is. So it seems like it should be there, and I think for the end user it would be. I understand why they're separate. So here's the tip. PowerPoint record feature is on the record tab. PowerPoint Cameo feature is on the insert tab because you're inserting your webcam into the slides. There's my tip.
Okay.
Silence. I could tell that went over great. Bethany, what do you got?
Well, I guess as we start to actually kind of emerge from our COVID bubbles finally, right, and we're moving around more, I found myself traveling to Chicago to onboard my new project manager. We went to Vancouver as a team, but I cannot work on one screen anymore. So I went looking for a portable screen, and I found one that I really like. It's KYY brand, and I just looked to make sure that it's still available on Amazon, and it's QVC moment, only like $150 right now. Like it's cheap and it's super easy. It's a nice big screen. You just need it. It comes with a USB-C cord. Hook it in, it starts right up, and it's kind of comes with its own little case that becomes like a little stand. And now I like don't leave home without it, essentially. Wow.
That is much cheaper than my portable screen I'm looking at that I paid for a while back. It's excellent. Cool.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, professional presentation design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com. If you have a virtual or hybrid event, we have vxpmeetings.com to give the attendees that location to attend at, and obviously the powerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. You can check out nolanhamescreative.com if you're interested in training or design on data viz and presentation. Also check out betterdeckdeck.com. You can get any of the three different versions of that. Still lots available if you want to design without bullet points.
And this is Bethany Auk from SlideRabbit. Find us at sliderabbit.com or on the socials like LinkedIn or Twitter and a little Facebook, I guess. We're informational designers, and we also develop templates and provide workshops for corporate teams.
Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Do us a favor and recommend the Presentation Podcast to other PowerPoint people. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.